Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, Episode 12. I'm Janice.
And this is David.
Hey, everyone. So, David, you wrote a cool blog post about some of the critical attributes that we feel are important to make great nonprofit leaders. So why don't you share with us what those are?
Yeah, I will. You and I spent some time together last year. I guess it was about 6 months or so, like sharing our wisdom and knowledge from what we've learned over the years of being nonprofit leaders and working with nonprofit leaders. And we were like trying to get to the heart of like, what are some of the things we noticed about the best of, right?
Yeah, and seeing the best and sometimes seeing not the best.
Exactly. Yes, that's true. That's true. And it's great learning from both perspectives. And we did create a very quick assessment that our audience can try at Fundraising Leadership. It's completely free to see how they measure up on these 9 different qualities or attributes of great fundraising leaders. I'll just kind of go through them and maybe we'll focus on one today. So the first one is like positive mental attitude. Second one we identified is like personal initiative, just, you know, getting going, doing things. And along with that is not only just getting things started, but like going the extra mile for people, right? And then whenever you're up to something in the world, you're going to have some breakdowns and failures. So what do you learn from that, learning from those failures? Another thing we've noticed is that folks who get busy doing stuff in the world and have breakdowns, they're usually, you know, up to something. They have some purpose and vision in what they, you know, either it's they're super well aligned with the mission of their organization, or they're actually like a founder of that organization, or they're a fundraiser for that organization that has a huge purpose and vision behind it. And they work well in teams. And another piece that you and I have talked a lot about is like that shift that happens when, like, at some point in your career, it's all about me and who I am and my career. And then a shift happens with these great leaders where it becomes about we. We talked a little bit about, like, they just get things done. Like, they actually can start something, not just, like, take the initiative and start things, but they can complete things. And many of them, although all of them, are exceptionally well organized and can plan. And if they are not good at that, they find someone who can support them. That is right. So those are just a few of the things. Which one do you want to dive into today, Janice?
Well, I'm feeling like let's talk about being a great team member. You know?
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, in this day and age, who doesn't work on a team, right? You know, even you know, sometimes even if you work by yourself, I mean, you still have a team around you that's got to help things get things done. So, yeah.
Look at us. We're a team.
Exactly.
You know, we create a lot of stuff together. And I guess there's a couple of things that you and I have talked about and that we're actually bringing into our advanced online leadership course this summer. Two aspects of teamwork. The first has to do with creating trust. And the second piece, I mean, there are a lot of elements that go into good teamwork, but two essential qualities are like that ability to have deep levels of trust between the members of the team, and then also what comes after that is actually engaging in healthy conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the thing about trust is that the research shows is, you know, people trust us to the same level of degree that we trust them.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's just this natural, you know, back and forth that happens with trust. And I think, I think we see a lot, you know, in teams especially in the nonprofit space, that there is a bit of a resistance to go into the conflict, which is an important part of trust, right? Like being able to feel like you can speak your truth, you can say what you think, you can have a different opinion from somebody, and that you will still be, you know, accepted and honored, you know, for what you think should happen.
Well, there's a couple of things around trust and conflict that we'll be addressing in the course. The first is that the leader and other members of the team, but the leader has to go first in terms of demonstrating vulnerability. Mm-hmm. So, like for example, when you make a mistake, you actually say, "I screwed up. I made a mistake," or like, "What I did, you know, didn't turn out the way it planned, or the way I planned it." And so that is one way of just being vulnerable around those things and can create trust.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I think when we admit that, you know, something we tried failed, or if we admit that, you know, the impact that we had was not what we intended, that really does increase trust. What takes away trust is when we're unwilling, because people see that, you know, they see that things are not going the way they should. And then how can you trust someone if they're not willing to step forward and say, like, this is what happened, this is the impact, here's what I learned, you know, and make a commitment, like, going forward, like, this is what I'm going to do different.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And there are cultures, and I've been part of these cultures. We have a joke around the house here, you know, we call it the shamer blamer culture. Like when it's a culture of shame and blame, mm-hmm. like somebody makes a mistake and you get blamed for it and then you get shamed for it. Mm-hmm. Those are not a high trust cultures. Yeah. Then everyone is like, oh, I'm not going to say anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Those are not places we want to work.
Oh, or definitely that we want anyone working. Well, and what I love about, you know, what we do together is we try stuff, and, you know, even on our own team, and sometimes it gets messy and it doesn't work and we have to, you know, sort through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other piece that comes to me is, you know, around conflict is this idea that we really find helpful, where instead of trying to get to agreement, we figure out first where we align. And I'm actually remembering, you know, we've talked before about how we met in this leadership program. And so you'll remember one time where we were all trying to pick dates for something. I mean, the most simple task on the face of it, right?
But not with 24 busy people. Anyway.
And it was just so much resistance, and people were getting frustrated and angry. And, you know, it was just, you know, in retrospect, it seems kind of funny, but at the time it was just, you know, made my head want to blow up. And then somebody, thankfully, you know, sort of said, like, you know, what is the purpose behind why we're trying to, you know, get together? Like, what is it we get out of being together? What do we want to create when we're together? And so suddenly we all found this beautiful alignment. And one of the ways, you know, I've heard that I like to think about it is like, suddenly instead of two people or a bunch of people on opposite sides, you know, kind of defending their territory, it's like something bigger than all of you gets put out into the space, and you can all turn and look at it and say, oh yeah, like that's why we're trying to find a time to be together, because something really important is going to happen. And so right. people's schedule suddenly opened up, as you remember, you know, magically.
I do. You know, so there are, that's a great example of seeking alignment rather than agreement, because we were driving toward agreement. And so we are going to cover this a little bit more in depth in the July course. And if you're in the audience listening to the podcast, just go over to fundraisingleadership.org, click on training. There is a course that Janice and I will be co-facilitating this summer, starting in July, called Leading High Performance Teams in the Nonprofit World, and you can see what that's all about. But here's, why don't you give them something to try, Janice, even if they're not going to take the course?
Yeah. So what I think would be great is the next time you find yourself in one of those situations, and it can be one-on-one or it could be in a team meeting, where it just feels like suddenly there's tension and, you know, everything's getting a bit sticky and hard, it's probably because you haven't actually aligned on something. So kind of step back and say, you know, rather than us trying to make a decision here, let's figure out where are the pieces, you know, that we are aligned about. So let's kind of just make up a simple example. Like maybe you are arguing about the format of your next donor report. Like, should it be online? Should it be in paper? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And right. Then it's like, you know, people get very entrenched sometimes, you know, in doing things.
And okay, so what can we align on? We can align on that we want donors to have their information, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, we can align on that. And then go ahead and have the disagreement over the format.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But first align that, like, we are totally aligned that donors need to get this information. Yeah.
Yeah, and that we want them to get it in the way that, you know, makes the most sense. You might, or you might align on the fact that, like, we want this to happen in the most efficient way possible. You know,
right.
We might align on the fact that we want to have the least environmental impact if you work for an environmental organization. So that's something we align about. So there's many, many things. And then basically what that will do is get you to all turn and look at the bigger picture. And then you can still disagree, exactly. But now it's like, rather than defending your position, you're trying to put different ideas into the space to get to something better.
And it, you know, and we'll boil it down to the what we want you to try here, because we've been adding to a little bit here. But, you know, we want you to have the vigorous debate, because then all the voices in the system get to be heard. And so when you do have the disagreement and the conflict, as long as you're aligned around what it is, you know, you get something you're aligned around, then once a decision is made, everyone then can get behind it, even if they didn't initially agree, as mm-hmm. long as their voice was put into the system and there was a candor and vigorous debate around the issue. So the invitation is, the next time you get bogged down in a disagreement or a conflict, and is to really seek alignment first, then have the conflict, and then come to whatever agreement you're going to come to.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So we invite you to go put that into practice.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.